Home, we are WNST, Towson of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road in April. Luke and I are getting ready for baseball season, new ownership, a draft, free agents. We got all that going on here, and I'm sort of getting back into the swing of things after Crab Cake Row last month sort of wore me out. 78 charity stories for a cup of soup or bowl. You can find them all at Baltimore Positive. All of it brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some 10 times the cashers to give away in April. We're coming back to Coco's. I got a date at Costas, and then we're going to be at Fadley's each and every Friday when there's a home game. And we're going live on the radio. We ain't been live in a lot of time. So we're 2 to 5. We'll be live with Luke and I looking at Oriole baseball and new ownership, which brings us to old ownership and old friends. And Luke and I are talking about sunning ourselves down in Madeira Beach or someplace like that in St. Pete Beach. We're going to go down and do a couple days of spring training later on this month. I'll also follow the NFL owners meetings until such point where they throw me out. This guy never threw me out. This guy always welcomed me in. He made me earn my A-lot parking pass by waiting and bitching in 1992 and 93 in the BC lot, which is somewhere near the Raven Stadium at this point. I think it's in this direction. Rick Vaughn is the architect of the walk-off experiment in 1991, in October 6, 1991, leaving Memorial Stadium. He spent the rest of his life, really, chasing the Tampa Rays and the Tampa Bay Rays and then the Moily family and Joe Madden around Tampa. He is a baseball historian. He's got a great baseball name, the Wild Thing. Rick Vaughn joins us now from parts unknown in Southwest Florida. We have a new day, Rick, and I've, you know, it's been 8 weeks. I wanted to make sure it was real. It's been 6 weeks since the new ownership. And now I see Rubenstein walking around Sarasota, and the next thing I know, he's got the Oriole bird at Camden Yards, and he's pointing toward – he's Babe Ruthin, and he's got his – and I'm thinking to myself, pinch me. This is really going to happen. And I'll say this to you because I've said this to everybody, and I haven't done a lot of radio the last month. I never in my life talked to my wife, my son, anybody I knew about the day when he sells the team or dies or the next or the next. Like, I never, ever spoke that way. I felt like it was like Castro's Cuba or like Russia now, where you're like, Putin will always be alive. He'll always run Russia. It'll always be effed up. It'll, like, I can't believe there's going to be a new thing here, Rick Vaughn. And I know your heart bleeds Oriole orange, which is why I wore this curious shirt for you today, that, like, this is special for everybody who ever wanted it to be better than it was.
I tell you what, I'm pinching myself too. You know, I'm let me one word of caution, and I have no reason to think this is going to happen, but I remember when Peter got the team and everybody was very excited. You know, we had a Baltimore guy with the team, and for me, that honeymoon didn't last very long. I saw some things real early in their ownership.
He threw Larry Lucchino out, was his first act after telling Larry he was going to stay. And then after that, it was just once you saw that and then it was just over for anybody on the inside who loved Larry. Larry spent 15 years making everyone love him. He kept the team here. He cooled down Everett Bennett. Well, you know, like it's an amazing history story that your generation is sort of lost in all this 30 years later of how you were the ones that made the Orioles great, man.
Well, they were great when we got there, but we did try to continue it as best we could, even though we weren't even winning on the field, you know, other than 89 when we almost won the East. But Larry had great passion for it. You know, if there's two people that deserve the credit for Camden Yards, and I had pretty much a front row seat, it was Janet Marie Smith and Larry Lucchino, because Larry had the passion and Janet made it happen and basically illustrated exactly what Larry wanted. But when Peter got the team, I mean, you know, I saw some things, especially from our friend John Angelos early on, where I was starting to scratch my head a little bit. And it didn't take long to realize this is going to be a struggle. You know, this is going to be a tough run.
Did you left the Orioles, like, on your own volition to go work for the Redskins? And it went much better for a minute, and then you went to Tampa. But, like, you didn't want to leave the Orioles, dude. You loved the Orioles. Like, I was shocked the day you left, right?
Right. If I could if I had my perfect plan that I was in charge of it, yes, I would hopefully still be there because
if I had a perfect plan, I wouldn't have written Free the Birds and been treated like garbage and been screwed out of a $30,000 deal that pissed me off years ago, which pissed anybody off, and then be thrown out of my career and my vocation the last 18 years and crawling, waiting long enough to get back in. So, I mean, I think all of us, I called it a rough ride. That's a nasty cop reference for, you know, what happened to Freddie Gray, a rough ride in the back of a cop car. I feel like all of us have gotten a really rough ride the last 30 years in a lot of ways. And even the people that don't realize it, they got a rough ride.
Yeah, I would never have wanted to leave there. I mean, I had the best setup in the world. My office had a window right over the right field wall. You know, I can remember the All-Star game in 93. I got a few comp tickets, gave them out, then all my college buddies wanted to come to the game. And I said, well, I can't get you in, but you can sit in my office and watch it if you want. And they did. They had a couple coolers of beer, had the TV on, but looked right out the window at the game and got to feel the whole experience, which was unbelievable, you know, having the All-Star game at Camden Yards. So, no, I never wanted to leave there. But again, we saw things going on that were like, man, I'm disappointed and I'm surprised that they're doing these things. And so when I left, yes, I left on my own. It was my own decision to leave. But if you would have said to me in 91 or 92, are you going to leave the team? I would have said, are you crazy? This is heaven. You know, but it's my girls grew up going to games that, you know, at Memorial Stadium and Camden Yard. So yes, let's go back to the positive. I'm very excited about this. I've already seen something that makes me very excited about this group, and you probably know what it is, but on April 27th, they're going to rename the press box after Jim Hinneman. Now, I've been very disappointed in a lot of things the Orioles have done over the years. This one's got my attention because this was the right thing to do. I don't know who was behind it, but I give them tremendous amount of credit that they're honoring Jim Hinneman that way, and I'm going to be up there. I'm going up for it. That's how much it means to me.
Well, Jim Hinneman was my colleague and my coworker in 1986. I haven't seen Jim in a long time because I'm not allowed in the press box. So I've been vilified by them, even to people like Jim Hinneman, you know, like that I've known my whole life. Like no one associated with the team that takes a paycheck is allowed to be friends with me, allowed to link in with me, allowed to even look at me. Rick, I thought about this like three nights after this. I was having a glass of wine with my wife and I'm like, I have never been down there in my marriage, 21 years, and been treated well. I don't ever remember a time walking down there and feeling anything other than their ire, their nastiness. When I walk through on opening day to the club level, if anybody sees me, they scowl at me and look at me like I've done something shameful by telling the truth. Like, it's unbelievable. So this new group, what I would ask you, when will we know it's changed? Because like the Eli Jacobs thing wasn't good for you, right? And then Peter comes in and you're hoping. And then like you said, man, it didn't take you long to get, I mean, people got out quick, really quick. And especially the people that went to San Diego with Larry soon thereafter. Baker Copham was one of those people. A lot of people went out and they came back with the Ravens. Some of them came back, but I would say I haven't been treated well there. Even when Mike Flanagan was trying to treat me well and invited me to the owner's box when I got married 20 years ago, we still got treated like shit by everybody, not him and his wife. Like literally everybody else looked at us and looked at him like, how dare you bring him here? You know, like that's all I know. That's been since I was 25 years old, that's how I've been treated. I don't know what the sign will be for me personally. I'm in a different place than any other fan who comes back and spends money. What will you know from the inside? And like you're like, be careful. This guy could be worse. I don't know. He could be worse, different, bad. I don't know. But like, it's going to be different. But what if they hire you as a consultant to come in for 6 months and let's fumigate it, Rick Vaughn, because you're a professional and you know how to do this. And you have the energy, you have the love, you have the passion. Rick, Rubenstein reaches to you 6 weeks from now and says, come in. What do you do? Where do you even begin?
Well, you know, it's been a while. I mean, I've been out from the Rays for the last 6, 7 years, so I haven't really been too much attuned to what's gone on recently. But I think ultimately what happens is it's all about, to me, it's one thing. It's about communication and building relationships. I mean, if somebody said, what do you do for a living in the fewest words, that's what I would say. Build relationships. So knowing that, I think I would probably get the constituencies together that are the stakeholders, you know, find out, not trashing anybody, but just trying to find out how we can do our job better. And I think I would start, that's probably the first thing I would do. I'd probably start with all the media there, invite them out and say, throw any pieces of rotten fruit you have at me, but what's going on? What's gone wrong? you know, we're not going to be able to do everything.
See, I was never allowed to say that out loud. I'm an a-hole for just talking out loud with you about it, because you're like, I've been treated like trash. Like, if anybody asked me, I can give you, come on, Rick. I mean, they called you and told you not to credential me in Tampa. They called Toronto after I had reservations in hotels to go cover playoff games, and they told the Blue Jays to not let me in. They told the Nationals to not let me in when I was doing a charity tour and through that. Like, I've got war stories about it. They called the Hyatt in Sarasota and canceled my hotel reservation. They wouldn't allow me to stay in the hotel that they stayed in Sarasota 15 years ago when I wanted to come down. Like, it's unbelievable, but like, I don't know what that means to anybody or what that means moving forward for how these people are going to operate and try to get people back, because it's a fractured media market in a lot of ways. The city's so much different. I just wonder what their big idea is, or did they not have it yet? Like, let us get the team first and then we'll figure it out. We'll come in and investigate it, because the problems are very apparent, Rick. I mean, they clinched a pennant here and had 24,000. The place was half empty last year. So it really is it's a weird space. And the Ravens just raised ticket prices. There's only so much money. I mean, that's a fundamental problem in our city, I think.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think in some areas, I think they probably do a pretty good job. I know a couple people up there that are in their sales and ticket operations and stuff, and they're good people. And maybe it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's empowering people, letting them make decisions on things instead of, you know, John Angelos involved in every, you know, detail of what was going on. That's what I witnessed, you know, from the very beginning. And that never works. And so I'd probably, like I said, I think I would start by getting everybody in there. And if it's you, I'd probably say, you know what? We have a clean slate. I don't care what's happened in the past. You're a viable working member of the media, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have access like everybody else has access. And again, I did that for 31 years. I had arguments with plenty of people, but I
had arguments with you over a parking pass that I laugh about 30 years later. Right. You told me you're young, you can walk, get in line. Henneman's going to be in the A lot. And I'm like, but you'll see. One day you'll have to give me an A lot, Vaughn, you know? Like, but that was part of being 23 and egotistical, you know, I mean.
I remember, don't ask me why, but I remember that conversation in my office. I don't know why I remember it, but I do. I have no reason to.
I wanted you to take me seriously so bad, Rick.
Well, I think I guess at the end of the day, I respected your balls, you know, that you came with it and you brought it pretty strong. And eventually it worked out. But I don't understand how it can get to a level that it's gotten to with you. I don't understand that at all. But
they're not good people. And well, I wasn't going to take their money to lie for them, for anybody. I won't do that. And the people that I've pissed off, which are powerful people, they're really used to, here, let me write you a check and you'll say what I want on the broadcast. And I can't. I was trained by Jim Henneman. You know what I mean?
Well, you asked me when we could start maybe seeing some indication of what it's going to be like. I think this is a very good start. It's very early. You know, I understand that. But to me, I really don't think that naming the press box after Jim would have happened any time in the last whatever many years they've owned the team, 30 years or whatever it is.
I'm glad you're coming up. I got a crab cake for you, Rick Vaughn. You're coming up here, going to be a part of this. For you, when you hear this and you hear about new ownership, and you've been through this twice in Tampa, good times, and they still have a hard time selling baseball in your area, right? Like, You when you went down there 30 years ago, you thought, well, baseball, all their kids play at Wade Boggs, and you know, all these kids grow up here, and we have Latin community, Cuban community, like all of that. Like, it's a harder sell than you think to some degree. And I think getting people back in a lacrosse community here, in a football community here, in a challenge city, there's a lot of reasons why not, right? Why not to, or why you couldn't go. I just see them as having a clean slate to some degree, if they want such a thing. If they want a clean slate, people here want to be in love with the team and they want to have faith in the team and they want to believe in the team. But it's really hard to do when the owner's intimidating the lead broadcaster in the middle of last summer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah, that was awful. I mean, that was just flat out awful. And that was also a lot of, to me, pretty indication of ignorance, you know, not knowing how everything works. I mean, really? I thought that was, yeah, that was probably the last straw that I saw there, and I wasn't even paying attention. You know, I think a lot of times, look, you got to remember these guys are, some of them, they made their own. I mean, give Angelos credit. I think he was pretty much Peter was a self-made guy. You know, he built his nobody handed him a ball club. Nobody handed him, but he got where he got by not necessarily listening to others. You know, he got it doing because he knew what he thought was right. And so when they get in a situation that's completely different than what they've been in, that's what happened here with Vince Namoli. Vince was the right guy to get the team. You know, he was like an end rusher, man. He was relentless. But he was the wrong guy, most assuredly, to run the team. He had no idea what he was getting into. And I don't think these guys did. They didn't know what they were getting into, and they didn't want to admit they didn't know what they were doing.
But what is Rubenstein getting into then? So you know that. What is Rubenstein getting into right now? What does that even mean? Because, I mean, you speak of it at the highest level, having dealt with billionaires, millionaires, the people that run teams, just founding members of, like, all of these teams. You've been at these meetings all these years. What is Rubenstein getting into?
Well, I mean, here, look, it's changed dramatically since I left. But couple of things that haven't changed is, first of all, you're living in a goldfish bowl. You blow your nose the wrong way, somebody's going to notice it. And that's fine. That's who we are now. I'm okay with that. But you just have to be so much more aware of every little thing that you're doing is going to have a ripple effect. And that's, you know, you see some of these comments now by Oakland A's ownerships and some. I don't think they think things through very well when they're speaking publicly about, like, their situation. And I just think they have to realize they are, whether they know it or not, when they're sitting in their box and watching a game, somebody probably has their cell phone camera pointed up at them. So the first time they go and pick their nose, it's going to get to shot and it's going to get out. So you have to keep, you know, who was terrible at that was Bud Selig. You know, Bud sat in all those courtroom, all the steroid stuff, and the media was allowed in there, and they would just keep their camera on him the entire time. The minute he yawned or the minute he looked the wrong way or he did that picture was the picture that made the paper. And nobody, I think, ever schooled him very well on that, which is amazing since he was the commissioner. But you just have to.
Well, this was the famous thing in Milwaukee, and yeah. I was at that game that night.
Yeah. Well, there was another one during one of the steroid things where they caught him yawning, and that picture was on the back page of the New York Post, and everybody went with it. And it was, you know, him in the courtroom, this critical trial, and here he is yawning. And so, you know, but I'm saying they have to realize that they have to hire and trust people that know what they're doing, and they have to let them do their jobs. They have, you know, people that know how all this works. You made all your money doing what you're doing, and God bless you for it. But this is a different thing now. You've got a bunch of different constituencies that you have to answer to. You've got so many things that play. And now we're in the era, of course, of citizen journalists. You know, everybody's a journalist with their phone. So
even I have a podcast, you know. I mean,
so I just hope I think they do need to make some changes in some areas. I'm not going to get into where it is. Obviously, the baseball people, I tip my hat to them now, and I'm proud to wear my Oriole cap up here, and it starts good conversations when I see people. And I might have been wrong about those guys. They've done a hell of a job. But there's other areas where I think they need to improve, you know, that I have seen that I think they need to go back to the Oriole way. You know, that the Oriole way to me was, we were all in this together. If you were a Baltimore Oriole fan, even me, I was I worked for the Orioles. I wasn't born in Baltimore, but I felt like I was. And part of that was because of the relationship between the team and the city. And we have to get back to this whole thing, this whole notion, I think, about we're all in this together. We're all one. We're not going to carry on a 20-year feud with Nestor Aparicio because we didn't like what he said about us or whatever. That's got to end. That kind of stuff has got to end. And I had such a great feeling of pride there. I was lucky. I came in at the end of the run in terms of wins. You know, I was there from 84 to 94. So we didn't win that much, but there was still such a great, you know, the closing of Memorial Stadium. That was so important because that was such a tip of the cap to all the people that had such great memories there, you know, and I give Larry Lucchino all the credit. We went to him with the idea of bringing all the players back, and he knew how important it was that the people of Baltimore, was Memorial Stadium a great ballpark? No, it really wasn't. But it was in the fact that we had so much many things to celebrate there between the Colts and the Orioles. And the Orioles did not lose sight of that fact. And everybody said Lucchino was a Washingtonian and didn't have a feel for it. He did. And I think that was so important. That was like one of the greatest days I've ever had in baseball. And it really didn't have anything to do with wins and losses. It was looking out at that stadium as the players were going out there for the final time and not hearing one person cheer, but looking up into that stadium and seeing every single body in there. Everybody was crying. How do you recreate that? I mean, that was amazing. I don't think that happens in very many cities.
I wonder if David Rubenstein was there that day.
I hope he was. You know, that was, to me, that was the, I'm not saying it because I was involved in it. I'm just saying that I was so proud to be involved with it. But I just, it was the greatest blend of city and a team that I've ever been around. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where else you'd find that anymore.
Green Bay with the Packers or something. Right?
There you go. Okay, yeah. You just nailed it. That's right. Of course, Green Bay. Yes, but I don't know. You know, and maybe there's a couple.
Well,
of
Stedman would always say on our best day, the Colts were Baltimore's college football team.
Yes,
begat the Orioles. You know, 57, yes. 58, 59 with the Colts begat the Orioles of 66 and my cousin and Brooks and Boog and Frank and everything, Earl, everything that fell onto you when you got here.
Yes.
Rick Vaughn is the wild thing. He is the longtime public relations and communication specialist of the Tampa Bay Rays, the Devil Rays before that, and the Redskins before that, and the Orioles for a long, long time in the 1980s. He now serves with Joe Madden. In doing beautiful things in beautiful ways, and feeding people and doing all sorts of things that I talked a lot about last month, and I'm going to give you a chance to talk about Joe and all of your work from up in beautiful Hazleton, PA, right around the corner from my dad's hometown of Scranton, PA. The baseball side of this, Rick, I'm going to sit here all month and talk about they have seven outfielders. The day after they announce the team's getting bought, they deal for a number one pick, the best opening day starter they've had since probably Messina, going to the hill here. There really is a baseball part of this on a day-by-day basis that when your team is good, it's just a lot different. And you had a lot of bad baseball in Tampa. Then you had some really good baseball in Tampa with Joe. And the heartbeat and the difference of getting to the ballpark every day and how it becomes a soap opera that really does have a long tail. It's a bandwagon. It just drags people with them. Even last year, there wasn't much of a race because the Orioles kind of ran away a little bit toward the end. I don't know that it'll be that way this year, and they've already got things going wrong with Bradish and bodies and what they're going to do and this new ownership and all the pots and pans, and they're going to get an all-star game. That's going to get announced. Henneman press box. There's going to be a lot of Ripken's involved. There's going to be surprises and bobbleheads and, like, you know, all of that. But I've been doing this now 33 off seasons, okay, since 1991 is when I went on the air with Kenny, when you were running the team, and you're bringing Johnny Oates over to the studio and, like, all that. And I can't remember five times – I've had the radio station 25 years. I can't remember five times in March where the Orioles were even relevant enough to talk about them instead of football free agency, the Terps, the Caps, when the Caps were running, and, like, other things that were going on in the community. Everywhere I go, and I'm wearing orange right now, people are talking about this because it's not even last year. They thought, well, maybe they'll be competitive. They'll be an independent race next year. After you go win 101 games, your team gets bought, number one starter, like all of this inertia is happening right now. The best part of all of this is, despite the fact that 18 years ago I did Free the Birds and it's been a long 18 years, it really feels like the timing could not be better for the sport, for the league, for the corridor, for the American League East, just for everything. The timing for a new owner couldn't be better than right this minute.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think everything's aligned pretty darn well. It really, really is. I mean, and Major League Baseball pays attention because with that ballpark, you know, it's a jewel franchise. It's good. It's good for the league when the Orioles are good, I think. And I know they're not like a major, major market, New York, Boston, Philly, but it's an important franchise for the league to do well. And I think everything is aligned. I mean, I was excited last year I watched probably 100 and some games, you know, on the MLB package here. But I think everything is clicking. I'm very excited about this ownership group. I think from what I can tell, and if they've got Cal involved, Cal knows what's been going on there for the last 30 some years. He knows. And I hope he has an active role in making some decisions to change the way they're operating in some ways. And I think they're very smart people, and they'll see what they have to do. And so I'm going into this. I'm very optimistic that everything is real. This is going to be such a huge turn for the Orioles and the franchise in every way. And the guys can keep playing the way they played last year. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, that's the thing. Not only did they win, they won really in playing the game the right way and knowing how to play the game. Young players who are playing like 35-year-old veterans, you know, I mean, guys that really had good instincts. And that's, to me, what makes the game fun. And I think the arrow is going straight up in the air. But I hope they realize they have some work to do.
Rick Vaughn is an author, former MLB and NFL communications executive back when they communicated, consultant for homeless empowerment program and volunteer leader in Palm Harbor, Florida, a veteran in the sports communication field. He served as the public relations communication department head for the MLB Orioles, Rays, and NFL Redskins. Now with Joe Madden, and if I go through your LinkedIn, Rick, let's see here. Clearwater Youth for Breakfast with, it was Timmy Kirkchen who you were with the other day. One-time colleague as well. And then I go through like your timeline here, and it's Joe doing this and Joe feeding people and you doing stuff. You're enjoying your retirement. You don't even golf, do you? You're not a golfer, right? Uh-huh. Are you?
I golfed up until I got into baseball, and then
yeah, I was gonna say, I never heard you play around the golf, you know, with the rest of the guys, whatever. You're down in Florida, you're just like walking the earth, and I feel like a jerk. You've been on 30 minutes. You just wrote a book, and I know you want to promote that as well, but like, You're having a good time. You don't want to come back and run the Orioles with. Maybe you do. Maybe Ripken will call you and say, "Get up here and be a fixer. Come Winston Wolf this thing, Rick." But you're having a good time doing beautiful work down there in Florida, aren't you?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I'm doing two things that I really enjoy. I'm getting to write some, and I enjoy being in the community. I've got a lot of opportunities here. I met a lot of people in the 27 years we've been here, and so I really enjoyed doing that kind of work. You know, to me, I'd rather do that than go out and play golf. I mean, you know, everybody goes, why don't you, you know, you live a mile from a golf course, but you know what? I get more joy out of this. So let me do what makes me happy, you know, and writing makes me happy. Researching baseball, you know, being out of baseball, it's kind of therapy for me. And I've been fortunate enough. I love working in the community with people. And you know what? I'm one of these people that I don't think what I'm doing is heroic. I think everybody should be involved in helping in the community. I really do. I think volunteerism is something that we should promote more amongst everybody. And I know they're doing it with high school kids and they have to do community service. And I think that's a great thing because it exposes them to the needs of the community. And I mean, I see some stuff that really will make you cry, you know, and some of these
people. It's humbling. It's very, very humbling anytime you get involved. It doesn't take much.
It's very humbling, and it keeps me grounded. And the other thing is, and I don't want to get into it because it'll make me cry, but there's certain moments where you get really, really good clarity on something where you want to know what your purpose is here. You want to know what this whole thing is about. You get moments like that where you realize that.
The why gets answered, right?
What's that?
The why you're there. It gets answered in that
there's
moment.
There's no question. You know, I mean, there's moments that, you know, because all we hear about is how divided we are, but there are moments that happen where you can find the person that looks like the opposite of you, that talks like the opposite of you, that couldn't be any more different than you. And then you start talking to them and you realize, different? We couldn't be more alike. So those are the moments that of clarity that you get from this that are very, very, you know, just powerful things. And I'd rather have a moment like that than get a hole in one, which I did get one time, but I would rather have those kind of moments than playing golf and stuff. So that's just how I'm wired. Doesn't mean it's right, wrong, or anything else, but I enjoy those, you know, those interactions with people. And we've been able to get some of the folks that are down here for spring training to come and serve at our kitchen, our homeless empowerment program kitchen. We had Kenny Rosenthal came over the other day, and we've had some people from MLB Network come over, and And it's it really just an awareness thing, making them aware of how things are and just getting in the trenches for a little while. And
I did a week on the food bank, a cup of Super Bowl. When the NFL banned me after 30 years of covering the Super Bowl, I did a cup of Super Bowl. We gave free cup of Super Bowl the week of Super Bowl week. And all we did was talk charities all week. And we did it for the Maryland Food Bank. We raised for the local shelters, the food that we did in Dundalk State and Dundalk, the food we did in Cockeysville State and Cockeysville. And it was just a powerful week. And I met so many beautiful people who are doing the real work. You know, like really doing the work, you know?
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Well, good for you, too. I got your book up here on my screen here. Tampa Spring Training Tales, Major League Memories. So Lucas and I may wind up on your couch in about 3 weeks because it's expensive down there. We're going down to Sarasota for a couple of days and running around. When I go down, and I guess I'm East and West Coast, right? Because I was in Sarasota with the Orioles in like 94, 95 after the strike. I was in Fort Lauderdale. They didn't have a home in 92 and 93. They were at Al Lang in St. Petersburg, and they were changing. You were there. They were up at that Huggins-Stengel Field with the water tower in downtown St. Pete. That's now like a beautiful community downtown St. Petersburg, right? Yeah. I have my own tales of Al Lang Stadium and, you know, broken windows from foul balls coming back into the Marriott parking lot. And I got trapped in the Marriott elevator right across from Al Lang. It's the only time I've ever been stuck in an elevator. Hour and a half I'm in there trying to get out. I thought I was going to miss first pitch.
It's a beautiful city and it has tremendous, you know, I should say cities because I actually wrote, and I happen to have them right here, two books. This one's St. Pete. This one
that's Al Lang Stadium right there.
Coming out as Tampa, right. This one's the one that'll be out in a week. But both cities have tremendous history of spring training, so much history. And a lot of people go, well, it was spring training. Nobody pays attention. But the stories that came out of that and some of the things that happened that impacted the game down the road are pretty amazing. So I had so much fun writing both of these books. And it's been, like I said, it's been kind of therapeutic for me.
All right. My favorite spring training story that I'm going to share with you at Huggins-Stengel Field was, and you talk about things that changed spring training, Jamie Moyer trying to make a team, fifth organization, soft trash lefty. The best part was had a beautiful wife whose father was Digger Phelps, and Digger and I would sit and talk basketball. Digger would do the show with me. Like, it was awesome. Jimmy Poole, oh my God, the late great, one of the great humans that I met in baseball.
Yeah,
Jim Poole. What a beautiful man Jim Poole was. And Jamie Moyer, who was least likely to make it, won another 250 games or whatever. Like, that came out of spring training. His career was over, right? Like, literally.
Yeah. That's one of the most amazing stories of all time. I mean, we were hoping we could get maybe a year or two out of him as a fifth starter, and then he pitched for, like, another 12 years. Like, what?
So, I mean, that's the kind of what I think spring training tales. And I always tell Luke, there's a little place right by Huggins-Stengel that has really good seafood right on the main drag there. And I would always go there and get a fish sandwich. So we're going to be down doing the spring training thing with you. I do hope to see you. I hope we at least get some stone crabs or some grouper or, you know, for old time's sake. I'll see you in a few weeks. Love you. Appreciate you. Keep up the good work. Anything you want to say about Madden? How's he doing, Joe?
He's doing well. He just had back surgery, actually. And they wouldn't let him spend the night alone after he had the surgery. So it was him and me one night together. So if he didn't get up in the middle of the night and hurt himself. So I spent this one last week. But he's doing fine.
See, he thought you were just going to work for him. And it turns out you're the caregiver in the end, right? Like, literally, right?
Yeah. He's doing well. He's, you know, he's still active with community stuff. And he plays a lot of golf. And I think he wants to get back and manage again. I just don't know if he's going to get the opportunity. We hope that he does. He's, you know, he's 70 years old and he's 70 going on 40. You know, I mean, he's always been that way. He's very young at heart. He's younger than most 30 and 40 year olds I know. So he has a lot to give. And I just know one thing, and that is that the game is better when he's in the game. And so I'm hoping he gets a chance to get back into it. And there's so many things that are being done now by teams than Joe did back in 2008, and everybody went, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, guess what? Everybody's doing some of those things now. So I hope he's in the game, and he's a guy that can stretch everybody's imagination, and that's always a good thing.
Well, I love the glass of wine I have with him right about left center field at the Trop at the Taste of the NFL in 2009. And we were in a three-way conversation with him and Max Weinberg, the Mighty Max from Springsteen's band. And we were discussing how seeing Springsteen in Milan would be the place to see him, or Barcelona. But, you know, I've never had a crab cake with Madden, so you need to work that out. Tell him it'd be an honor to have a crab cake with Joe Madden, and we'll promote all his good stuff if he ever comes in here for anything baseball-oriented. Hey, our town's about to catch baseball fever again, Rick Vaughn, and I hope that you're
excited.
A part of it. I have a crab cake waiting for you in 3 weeks, along with Jim Henneman, a nice cold beer, and it'll be good to see you. Thanks for visiting.
So I'll see you soon.
All right, Rick Vaughn, longtime PR guy and still communicating from his home in Tampa, and even offering WNST and Baltimore Positive a piece of his couch on a Saturday night in March. Back for more
guest
on
room.
WNST.
We'll do that. We'll do better than that. We'll give you the guest room.
Thank you, Rick. And free access to the refrigerator, no doubt, if I stock it. Back for more after this.